What's up, everyone? Welcome into Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. I am a radio host at Sports 1140 KHTK, the home of your Sacramento Kings, their flagship station. Got another good one for you today. The draft is approaching. Got some Kings news that happened over the last week. Some rumors as they're going to come flying out fast and furious this week regarding the Kings and a couple other things, too. So stick around as this is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Woo! Welcome in to Locked On Kings. It is draft week. I like to call it Hell Week. I think that's like a frat thing. I was never in a frat, but it was also like a football thing. Like first week of training camp was hell week because they pushed you hard. So this is hell week, man. This is where all the rumors come out, all the misinformation, all of a sudden the Kings are interested in Mikal Bridges at number two. All the, you know, Kings are interested in trading down to 30 or trading up to number one. All the BS. So try and sift through it. That's what I'm going to try and do, but easier said than done. Also, just one of the best weeks of the year, man. I love it. Everyone's getting new players on their team. Optimism reigns supreme. It's just, it's awesome. And the Kings should be optimistic with that number two overall pick. A lot of things to get to. A lot of different news and misinformation coming out about the Kings and that number two overall pick and who they're going after and who they like and don't like. And I think the Kings just shouldn't make a pick. Just skip number two. Just that would be the ultimate swerve. Just, I'm not doing it. There it is. Thanks for listening. No, we got plenty to get to. One of the first things I wanted to get to, because this was big news, especially for a lot of Kings fans. And, you know, why not be optimistic and think this could happen? Or also, why not be completely against it? But Kawhi Leonard, apparently, officially wants out of San Antonio. And we pretty much knew that. He never came out, or his group, or whatever, never came out and made it official. It's official now. He wants out. Doesn't mean he's going to be leaving. Doesn't really mean anything, because he's under contract. And they can decide what to do with him, and I guarantee if they put $219 million in front of his face, that thing gets signed quicker than, I don't know, something fast. I couldn't think of a proper analogy there. But it's not official that he's going anywhere. It's official that he wants out, I guess. And so that brought up a lot of interesting ideas from Kings fans and a lot of Kings fans who didn't want it because they don't believe he would resign. And I get that. That's probably the logical, correct view to take on this situation. Buddy of mine, college friend of mine from Sacramento, huge Kings fan. I want it to happen because he made me promise him that if it does, that if Kawhi gets traded to the Kings, that we'll go play Edward 40 hands on the state capitol lawn. So, for my own selfishness, I want that to happen. But I'll need someone to come bail me out probably after that too. But we'll get to that when it happens. So, yes. Period, point blank, when it comes to the player Kawhi Leonard for the number two overall pick and say, I don't know, De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein. Let's just assume Bogey or Buddy aren't in there because those are two of the guys that I would like to keep the most. But if it came down to it, yeah, you would throw one of them in to get Kawhi Leonard, especially as starved as the Kings are for a superstar. And look, I've been doing this exercise recently, top 7-8 players in the league, kind of to see where Russell Westbrook ranks, and I'd have him top 8, maybe top 7. And I kept forgetting about Kawhi when making this list. You know, it would go LeBron, Steph, KD, and, you know, no specific order there. If there is order, it's probably LeBron, KD, Steph, Harden, Giannis, AD, Kawhi, Karl Anthony Towns, not quite yet, but maybe one day, and then Russ. So I kept forgetting to put Kawhi in there, but Kawhi is a top 5, honestly, and he gets knocked down to about 7 just because of this last year and his injury and not having played. But that guy is a superstar MVP candidate. perennial all-defense, perennial defensive player of the year candidate, and especially on a team like the Kings, not only do you want a superstar, but to get a guy that is that proficient defensively on a bad defensive team and a young defensive team where he could, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, I guess is the saying, where you get a great defender that helps everyone else. So that's one of the main reasons, obviously. As good as he is, obviously. All the obvious reasons why you would want Kawhi Leonard. The obvious reasons why you wouldn't do it, because you'd be giving up major assets for a guy that probably won't re-sign. If this was the NFL and the NBA had the franchise tag where you could just continually franchise tag a guy to keep them from leaving, do it. Totally do it. Do it today. Do it yesterday. But this isn't the NFL. He's a free agent, and he's going to have incredible freedom about where he wants to go. He's the kind of guy when he becomes a free agent, if he picks any team in the league that he wants to go to, and they're making moves to make him fit under the salary cap, whether they have the room or not. Maybe not the Warriors, but I guarantee if he said, I want to go to the Warriors, they'd make an effort. I don't know. It would be great for the Kings and the Kings fan base, but do I see it happening? No. And I agree with most of the fans that are saying it would be a bad move because of the fact that you wouldn't be able to re-sign him and he'd be gone after a year and you give up major assets to get him. If it was just, you know what, never mind. I was going to say if it was just the number two overall pick to get him, you do it, but not even, because it's about 90% sure that he'd be leaving. And unless he, I would need a verbal commitment. Not even verbal. I'd need him to sign an extension before you even trade for him. So there's that. But we'll see what happens. I honestly don't even think he's leaving San Antonio still. I think you give him the Supermax. You're not going to get proper return on a guy like that. I don't know. Maybe the relationship is so frayed that he does leave. And doesn't care about the $219 million, but that's a bluff. That's a bluff, if you ask me. There's no way you turn down $219 million, especially because what? If you really do want out of there, sure, $219 million, signed, done. 365 days from now, I'm forcing a trade. Because of the rules, you can't sign it and then be traded immediately, but whatever. All the minutiae, all the cap minutiae, who cares? So there's one. Wanted to get to that, Kawhi Leonard. I'm sure Matt touched on it last week, but I just had to do it because it's interesting. It's very interesting. And you just got to weigh your options, and the options don't weigh towards getting Kawhi Leonard right now. So there's that. One other thing that I wanted to get to, because we're definitely doing a bunch of draft talk. So Amon Shumpert, as I'm all over the place, we'll get back to the draft probably after this break coming up. But I just want to mention Amon Shumpert opts in. You think? DeDoy. $11 million on the table, that guy's not opting out of that. Sorry. Not happening. So, you got one more year of Amon Shumpert, and again, I think he can be useful depending on where the Kings go with their draft picks. Solid perimeter defender, solid wing defender, Kings need that. Definitely overpaid, but not... he's not completely useless. You know, he can be part of the rotation. It just depends on minutes and who you want to give the minutes to. Is giving De'Aaron or Buddy or Bogey or Frank those minutes more valuable than having a solid defender out on the floor? So we'll see what happens. I'm still intrigued by this Kenneth Faried in the 14th overall pick deal. For the Kings. And I know that would eat up a lot of cap space, but if they can move Shumpert in that deal, which I don't know if Denver would want to do because they'd kind of just be swapping a lot of money, it would still save them some money because I think Fareed's making like 14, Shump's making about 11. It would save them some money, and Shump could be useful for them. They're a bad defensive team. They could use a good perimeter defender like Amon Shumpert. But again, I don't know if they have minutes for him either. But that's intriguing to me, and especially because who could probably be available there at 14. I think you could find a solid wing there at 14, depending on who they pick it to, the Kings, obviously. So a lot of things up in the air, a lot of interesting stuff. But I do think if you're the Kings, you got to look to move that salary if you can. If not, then you just, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. Maybe you stretch him, buy out. I mean, none of that helps the cap, though. Stretching does, but I don't like the stretch provision because then you're just you're getting hit with smaller cap hits over the next couple years, which obviously is great in the short term, but in the long term can hurt you. So we'll see what happens with him. I thought it was pretty obvious. We're still waiting to hear from Garrett Temple, which I think it's about another week or so he has to opt in. I think it's June 29th. So another 10, 11 days, actually, is the cutoff. I would imagine, and I, not to be digging into other people's pockets, so to speak, but that's a substantial amount of money to give up for a guy who, don't get me wrong, has made a ton of money to the common man. To the NBA player, he hasn't made a ton of money. That would probably, that's about a third of what he's made in his career, I believe, from certain publications and certain contract numbers that I've seen. So that would be a lot of money to give up. And if I'm Garrett Temple, I wouldn't do that. But money isn't everything to everyone. But we'll see what happens with him. I do think he'll opt in also. And Kings will have a buttload of cap space in 2019. I don't know how useful that is for them in 2019. Because, again, we can't overlook the fact that it's hard for them to get free agents. So I think having cap space this year, and obviously you'll have a ton next year regardless of whether, you know, okay, so you have $50 million instead of $70 million next year. But I think having cap space this year to try and get guys like, obviously, as I've mentioned, here's my obligatory Aaron Gordon mention in this podcast, having cap space to make an offer to Aaron Gordon or Julius Randle or Jabari Parker, Will Barton, all these guys, Jeremy Grant, I think it's Jeremy, one of the Grant brothers, I'm pretty sure it's Jeremy. So a lot of options out there, and I think having enough cap space to make a couple moves this year while continuing to have plenty of cap space next year, because they're going to have a ton, at the very least, between Shumpert, Randolph, Kufis, and most likely Garrett Temple when he opts in, that's like $40 million. So even if they spend $30 million this offseason and have it on the books for next year, they're still going to have $40 million in cap space regardless. So we'll see what happens, but I do think cap space this summer and trying to make some moves this summer is important. Instead of putting all your eggs in the basket of, we have $70 million in cap space in 2019, and just strike out. So there's that. Now we'll get to the draft coming up next. A lot of other rumors coming out. A couple of mock drafts came out. An A-plus mock draft came out from ESPN, and I think a lot of Kings fans are going to enjoy the pick, the A-plus pick that was made for the Sacramento Kings. That's coming up next here on Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over Amon Shumpert opting in, DeDoy. $11 million, you're going to opt into that, especially if you're Amon Shumpert. Real quick, doesn't really affect the Kings, but just came out today. Rudy Gay opts out in San Antonio, obviously looking for more money. I would imagine more money. But also something kind of interesting, is he opting out of a situation where he doesn't, you know, there's a little turmoil. Superstars leaving, wanting to leave, etc. At his age, is he looking to ring chase? I doubt it. I think it's a money thing, but he's kind of interesting to me to see what he would want to do moving forward with Rudy Gay. So we'll see. Just wanted to throw that in there, former King. And honestly, I know some Kings fans won't like this, and it's not going to happen. Let's just be real. But he plays a position that the Kings are deficient at, and we'll see what happens in the draft and free agency. But having Rudy Gay back wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. Not going to happen, but, you know, what the hell. We're playing fantasy GM here. So a little draft talk here. And one thing I want to get to, as we all are kind of freaking out about what the Kings will do and some of the rumors that we've heard, etc. I think it was Sports Illustrated. I forget exactly who the article was. But basically what he was saying is, No one knows what the Kings are going to do. Maybe the Kings don't even know yet. So no one can predict it properly at this point as to who the Kings will take or what they'll do. Will they try and trade down? Who knows? I have no idea. All the Michael Porter Jr. talk is interesting. It's intriguing. I'm still not sold on it because of the injuries and stuff. Does make me nervous. But there's a lot of rumors that the Kings would like to nab him, like to take him, and I think they would prefer. And it's a risk because the way I see it, if you love a player, if that's your guy, take him. Who cares? Look at the Celtics last year; they were able to trade down to 3 and get Jason Tatum, which looked a lot better. But if they took him at 1, yeah, we would have lost our minds when it happened. But once games started being played, we would have been, oh, they were right. They were smarter than all of us. Danny Ainge, of course, was smarter than all of us. So that's something, you know, Donovan Mitchell. If Donovan Mitchell went 4 last year to Phoenix and we're all freaking out about that and he goes and balls out and is, you know, the rookie of the year, again, we're dumb. They're smart. So I kind of believe in taking your guy if that's the guy you believe in. But let's say they move down from 2 to 4, pick up an extra draft pick next year, which they do need because they don't have a first rounder, obviously. I wouldn't mind it. Wouldn't mind it, but it's also a risk because who knows who Atlanta takes at 3. You would think it would be Luka or Bamba or Jaren Jackson or something, but you know, who knows? Maybe they love Michael Porter also. So it's real. The rumors are real because I've heard them long before these last couple weeks. As soon as they got number 2, and even before that, when they thought they were going to be picking around 7 or 8, they really loved Michael Porter Jr. And now, with, you know, the number 2 overall pick, they still love this kid. So we'll see what happens. I think that stuff is real. I think if a proper trade offer comes in, they'd definitely be willing. But you just have to be careful. You have to be careful with trying to maximize your draft slot just to pick up more assets when you are in love with a player. Again, the back, the hip, all makes me very nervous. It is a risk. But if he comes in and doesn't have a single problem, that's great. You nailed it. But there's no guarantee that that will happen. So anyways, there's the Michael Porter stuff. SI, like I said, no one knows what the Kings are going to do. As far as I can tell, it's basically between Bagley, Porter, and Doncic. And some of the Doncic stuff has cooled a little bit as far as them not wanting to take Doncic, or vice versa. But, and again, as I've said, he would be my pick. I would love to see him on this Kings team. I think he would be great with the young players that they have and what he brings and his ability and all that stuff. I think he has the highest floor of any player this early in the draft. Because a lot of these, a lot of these guys could be superstars, but they could also be major busts. It's a lot of very low floor, very high ceiling type players, where Luka Doncic has a high floor, just meaning he will come in and be an NBA player, period. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You want that. It's a lot better than not being an NBA player. So ESPN came out with a mock draft for every team. So basically the perfect picks for every team. And I mentioned that a lot of Kings fans would like this. They had Luka Doncic going to the Kings. And again, this is what they think would be the right pick, not so much what the Kings will do. As I've said, I agree with it. I think he should be the number 2 overall pick. I think he'd be great with the Kings. Great court vision, great IQ, solid defender. Could get better, but again, also fits a need at the wing that the Kings desperately have. The 3 and the 4 are the biggest needs for the Kings. So inside the roster segment, here it goes. It says how he fits. Doncic would give the Kings offense that ranked last in the NBA in half-court efficiency an immediate jolt. His pass, dribble, shoot skill set fits with Sacramento's young core of De'Aaron Fox, Bogdan Bogdanovic, Justin Jackson, and agile bigs, Harry Giles, Scalabissier, and Willie Cauley-Stein. Using Doncic to push in transition, then pick teams apart in second side ball screens in the half court is the best way to use him. Sacramento has the pieces in place to accentuate his skill set in time. Makes sense, right? And as I've said, that's who I want on the Kings. My biggest concern is I don't trust this coaching staff to take advantage of what he brings, honestly. And that doesn't mean that that will ruin his career or anything, but the way I see it, this team can maximize its potential by playing fast, and I don't think they would ever do that with Dave Joerger. Using Doncic to push in transition, that's a line that I saw, and immediately I agree, that's one of his best abilities, kind of like Lonzo Ball. And I know, you know, Lonzo Ball, we can all clown him, and a lot of his stuff is clown-worthy, but he's a solid player, especially in transition. Doncic, same thing, great in transition. The Kings don't push the ball, though. And last line here, Sacramento has the pieces in place to accentuate his skill set in time. They absolutely do. Do I trust them to do that? Not really. Prove me wrong, though. So we'll see. As I've said, I like Luka Doncic. I know a lot of people are high on Bagley. I don't know. Again, no one knows. So don't take any of this too serious. You know, if you want to kill me on Twitter at CTH415, go ahead. I think Doncic should be the guy. Michael Porter, I am extremely intrigued by. If he was healthy, he would be, he'd probably be the number two overall. He might go number one, honestly, to the Phoenix Suns. But the bottom line is he's not healthy. He still has back and hip issues. So we'll see what happens with that. I love this week. I love this time of year because we get the draft and then we get free agency. I think they do it great. They do it better than the NFL, who has the free agency and then the draft. So I couldn't be more excited. Kings fans, you should be excited too, man, especially with the California Classic Summer League games coming up here at G1C. It's going to be dope. I'm going to be there. I can't wait. This is awesome, especially after an NBA season that I thought was pretty great. I know people will complain about blah, 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 this or that. Warriors were too good. Cavs, you know, LeBron goes to his 100th finals. Whatever. I enjoyed it. Let's all just enjoy stuff. Let's stop trying to pick everything apart. Let's just enjoy the ride. You know what I mean? Enjoy the journey. That's what we do out here in California, man. Just keep it chill. Keep it mellow. Sacramento, California. Coming up next, going to talk a little finals, go around the NBA for a sec, and then we will wrap this thing up for the day. This is Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up? Welcome back to Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over some draft talk. Again, rumors, man, flying. Who knows what's going to happen? I think people throw out as many rumors as possible, so eventually one of them will be right, and then you can say, yeah, I told you, dude. Like, I told you. I knew the Kings were going to trade down for 100 different things. I knew it. You know, I'm smarter than most. So we have no idea what's going to happen, especially with the Kings. Talked about some players opting in, some other players opting out, and where the Kings stand on that, some potential trades. Want to talk a little NBA Finals. Look, I loved it. Yes, it was a sweep. We got two great games, though. We got two all-time Finals performances, one from LeBron, one from KD. We got the most threes ever hit in an NBA Finals game from Steph Curry. I know it was a sweep, and people probably hated that, but we got two solid games out of it at least, where just because a series goes seven games doesn't make it a good series. The 2016, besides the Cavs coming back from 3-1, that wasn't a very good series. And Game 7, yes, Game 7 came down to late action and a late shot in 2016, but that game was pretty terrible up until the last two or three minutes. So, you know, everyone has different standards, but Warriors are a juggernaut. I think part of it is we got to start looking at the East for being weak. I mean, there's a crazy imbalance between the East and the West, and the East is weak. Maybe Boston can be the team to push Golden State, maybe even beat them next year. Who knows? I don't think it'll be the Cavs. I don't know if LeBron will leave. I honestly think he might stay. I think New York is a wild card. I don't see LA happening unless it's the Clippers. I guess where Kawhi goes matters. But again, with me not expecting him to be leaving, I don't think, you know, King James will go to L.A. Paul George, you know, OKC has a better chance at keeping him than some think. I don't know. It's all up in the air. But as far as, you know, the finals imbalance, I guess some would like to call it, I think the East needs to get better. They shipped out a bunch of all-stars last year. Paul George, Jimmy Butler, you know, to West teams, and the East just got weaker. And so I think that's part of it. Whatever. I enjoyed it. I hope you guys did too. I hope you enjoyed this, because coming up on Wednesday, I believe Matt George and I are going to do a mock draft of the top 10, maybe we'll do the whole lottery. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll do all 30. Maybe we'll do all 60. I don't know. What do you guys prefer? Hit us up or hit me up at CTH415. Let me know what you think. Should the Kings trade for Kawhi? Should they hang on to their pick? Who should they take it to? Let me know. So come back on Wednesday, and we will have the mock draft for you. And then Thursday night, 7 to 10 p.m., Matt George and I will be on Sports 1140 KHTK doing a post-draft show. So check that out. If you can't, I'm sure we'll throw some of the interviews on Locked On Kings next week. And maybe on this Friday also. So 7 to 10, KHTK, Sports 1140 KHTK, Matt George and I, 7 to 10 p.m. Thursday, draft night. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Locked On Kings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.